are escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, welcome to the newest edition, the newest episode of the ATA podcast, Absolute Truth, Absolutely, and these are your hosts, Gio.
And Sarai.
You forgot your name?
I almost, right?
I think you had a momentary lapse. Either that or I caught you by surprise as to the timing of when I was going to say these are your hosts.
Yes. Not that I don't want the listener to think that I forgot my name or that it was a trick question.
That's like there's a portion of the Divergent film when the protagonist of the film jumps through the... What is it? I think 20 stories.
Yes.
And she lands on the net below. And finally, number 4 asks her, your name is? And he, or rather, she looks at him with a puzzled face. And then he returns the stare back saying, is that a hard one?
Right. That's a perfect example of how I felt right now.
Well, this is the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast, which is powered by LWYM in Miami, Living Word Youth Ministries. And we usually take the time out on these podcasts to speak upon things that are relevant for the listeners of this show, which are generally the youth and what you can expect in the world. And we also provide biblical answers to give you the response to counteract the contradictory, hypocritical, and deleterious effects of the secularist ideology and mantra. We're going to alter the sequence and the format of the show today. We don't read first from news bits and then comment as we read. We usually bring a topic because of something we've read, or maybe a subject matter comes to mind and we'd like to elucidate on it somewhat. But these three news items caught our attention.
Yes.
The first one you sent to me, the first and the third you sent to me, and I thought we need to take this to our listeners so they can understand the world that they're living in. But the second one, to me, is probably going to be the most hilarious, the funniest, but the most sad at the same time.
Yes.
Because you see that people's depravity knows no bounds. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to change the format a little bit today. We're going to read a little bit from the news items, the articles, and we'll comment as we go along. So the first news item is one that will bring contentment to the listener's heart. And that is because these college students that we are going to refer to, they did something for 12 hours straight.
Right. Nonstop.
Some might think, I might have an idea of why they were dancing for 12 hours. Gio and Sarai, you're going to mention that maybe they were dancing for LGBTism or anything of the nature. No. Actually, they were dancing for a very good cause.
And they weren't under the influence as
well. They were not under the... Well, that's what the report says. I'd yet to see that maybe some of those students had been hopped up on dope or whatnot. But anyways, it says, for a college student to dance for 12 hours straight without sitting down, it's not a stretch to assume they've consumed Molly and are under the trance of hypnotic club lights and rhythmic beats. When you reference 12 hours straight of dancing, you're thinking about a party animal that spends his time in South Beach every single weekend, and that's what he throws away his money on. That, booze, and drugs.
Right, and this that describes your typical college student.
Well, that is the college ambiance in most universities nowadays, right? But at Syracuse University last weekend, more than 300 college students danced for hours on end in a campus gym and completely sober, no less. They never sat down, kept smiling. They moved until their legs ached and their bodies felt exhausted. During moments of weakness, they encouraged each other, stay strong and keep it up, could be heard echoing among the throng of student dancers in the Syracuse gym. Now, let me clarify. Syracuse is a leftist university.
Yes, it is.
if you were to categorize maybe the top five, if you were to list the top five most leftist, licentious universities in the USA, you would have to place in those top five UC Berkeley, Syracuse, Columbia, and I might be forgetting a few, but those are the three that I wanted to mention because they're at the top of the list. Illinois, Chicago, there's a few. There's a few out there, but at top five, it has to be UC Berkeley, Syracuse is up there, and Columbia University have to be up there, okay? But here's the interesting thing about it. For these students, they weren't dancing for themselves, for their own enjoyment. They were dancing for the infants and children less than a mile away from the festivities, some of whom have leukemia, others who suffered injuries in accidents, kids fighting for their lives. This is very good.
Yes, it is.
I'm glad that this is reported and many of these pupils decided to undertake this dance-off, which collected money to aid those children in need. Though I would disagree with the time, 12 hours, maybe the event could have lasted 12 hours. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Well, Gio, at the same time, if they were a little heavy on the weight, they burned a lot of calories.
I don't know if any person that indulges in Snickers would want to. if they say to them, let's dance, they're already discouraged. If they say 12 hours, they're saying, I'm not showing up.
Yeah, it's a lot of hours.
12 hours, I think, is a bit too much, but hey, I guess it's for a good cause, right? The inaugural Syracuse University Autothon brought together students from all walks of life Saturday to raise money for the Children's Hospital on campus, a cause that crossed boundaries, bringing a wide mix of students together for a common cause for the kids. You know what this makes me think of? The amount of the race baiters in our society, that they're always saying we needed inequality to cease. We needed to be eliminated from society. And they're always remembering the sins of the past, always bringing to remembrance slavery. And they, of course, they never mention their own racism. Mm-hmm. They always mention everybody else's racism. And what they're doing, in fact, is actually dividing us more.
Yes.
Because you keep opening up wounds of the past and not allowing that to heal and move forward. Obama's a perfect example of this. Al Sharpton, persons like that, Louis Farrakhan. But look at this. You have a good cause, and all these students crossing boundaries, whatever the case may be, brings them together, and there's no mention of racism. There's no mention of inequality. It brings students together. Why is it that these persons cannot look to these examples in order to make the world a better place, like they say, right? Which makes no sense. But it goes to show you that they're not wanting to make the world a better place. They like the division because it continues to offer them followers and the money that they seek.
Right. And there's an agenda. There's a hidden agenda every time someone comes out there and says, race needs to end and we need more civil rights and we need X, Y, and Z. Well, when you get someone or a talking head that is of that posture, you can tell that there's a hidden agenda behind it, and normally there is.
Absolutely. All right, it continues saying that that was the rallying cry for the event, from its infancy planning stages to the actual dance marathon, a massive undertaking that took months to plan and eventually raised roughly $84,000. It's a nice sum.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one rule, no sitting allowed. Athletes, Greek Life members, campus clubs, and others in the community all paid $100 each to dance the night and morning away. I'm thinking some of them say, I spend more than this on clubbing on every weekend, so $100 is not bad, right?
Exactly.
I did it for the children. Magda Yvette, a freshman anthropology major, wow, that's another student studying nonsense in
exactly.
the university, told the College Fix. It was nice to give back, and it was a challenge that has meaning. At the beginning of each hour, Bruno Mars's Uptown Funk would blast over the speakers. I have a question. For 12 hours straight, don't you think you're listening? This is what I'm saying, that sometimes sentimentalism can creep in and get the better of your reason. I've said beforehand, maybe they should have shortened the event to 4 hours and they would have raised the same amount of money without having to have made this extent. Because as I'm going to read, you know, if we have time, it says that some of the students passed out. So my point is, you should have also kept in mind the safety of the students that were participating
exactly.
and made the event shorter. There's no need to make it this, you know, this marathon, if you will, because it's for a great cause. But just because it's for a great cause doesn't mean that you have to abandon your use of reason and also your safety in order to provide good for someone else.
Of course. Of course. Right? I totally agree.
It says here the dance was akin to the electric slide, and each time it played, the crowd reacted with cheers, moving to the beat. Performances and a cappella groups also kept things lively. Students laughed and sometimes wiped away stray tears during speeches from hospital patients and their families. Two students even passed out during the emotionally charged night. There you go. Syracuse University has often been dubbed a party school. You heard it, folks. But the event helped illustrate the selflessness of its students. Well, that or it could be that many of these students simply found another way to party. And the school said, since we are a party ambiance, we might as well appeal to them so that we can make some money for the hospital.
Exactly.
When persons hear me say things like this, they say, Gio, you are the black cloud that exists over the cartoons' heads. I'm just looking at reality. And anyone that wants to live a romanticist existence can do so. I'm perfectly fine with that, but it's themselves whom they are damaging because they choose to see the world not for what it is, but what they think it should be.
Exactly.
And that is abandoning reality.
Of course. And it's dangerous too, because you're allowing yourself to be led by emotions. And the Bible clearly says that we shouldn't even trust our heart, that we should guard it and not be led by our emotions, because we're happy today, we're sad tomorrow. So it's a slippery slope.
Yes. The dance marathon went from 6 p.m. Saturday, February 28th, through 6 a.m. Sunday, March the 1st. The beneficiary was Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital, located on the campus grounds. Several families who either had a child treated at Upstate Golisano or who had been helped by other Thon events spoke about their experiences during the first several hours of the event. Quote, when you don't know how to put one foot in front of the other, they help you and they talk to you and they tell you how to put one foot in front of the other. They tell you, keep taking it day by day, keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. End quote. A cancer survivor told the crowd about the care that she received. Quote, we had a cause, something worth fighting for, end quote, organizers said. They continue saying, accomplishing what no one thought we could. So we congratulate the students that participated in this. Again, I still have my reservations, maybe participating for 4 hours instead of 12, but we do see that there is a silver lining, and also there is still much benevolence in people's hearts nowadays. Now, to the second news bit that we had promised. I said this was going to be a crazy one. For those people that thought that the acronym LGBT couldn't get any longer, it has officially become as long as a standard ruler.
Just about.
Move over LGBTQ, right? The new acronym is, are you ready for this? Here we go. LGBTTQQFAGPBDSM. We were going to rain on your parade. It was only bound to happen. But not we, but these idiots that put this together.
So, Gio, can we conclude that they will add, after the last one, after the last letter M, that they're going to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G?
You know what I'm thinking? Someone is going to take their soup, their Chef Boyardee soup, and they're going to try to spell this out. I wouldn't doubt this.
And trust me, there's a listener out there who's probably eating soup and or Cheerios, and they're probably going to say, hey, wait a minute, I just spelled it LGBT.
Can I also point something out here? If you were to write this out on a piece of paper, tell me if I'm wrong here. You see that homosexuals are angered and incensed over people using the terminology faggot, right? Even though that is not a derisive term, that has always meant a bundle of sticks that have been used to burn other things, or a bundle of sticks that needed to be burned, deteriorated, if you will. But the reason that many persons use that against homosexuals for many years and still do in private conversation, even though they don't use it much in movies and whatnot anymore, they use it for that reason, is to speak about the flaming, aspects of many of these, how would you call it nowadays, flamboyant,
yes,
comportment of many of these homosexuals, that they speak about us. They say, don't shove your Christianity down my throat. No, they're shoving their disgusting behavior down our throat by those public displays. But notice they say don't use the word faggot, don't use the word fag, right? But you read it. LGBT TQQFAG. It's in the middle.
Exactly.
I'm not making this up.
It is
Look
there.
Look how hypocritical these people are.
It is there.
Look how hypocritical these people are. In the middle of the acronym, the very thing that they have complained about and have said to others, don't use it anymore because it is insensitive to homosexual sensibilities. They themselves are using it, ladies and gentlemen. You see how hypocritical and contradictory these people are.
Yeah, very. And it... You're going to see that they're going to add more to it. I believe that they will, just to cater to many people, and the listener will see what the acronyms stand for.
All right, here we go. As Professor Stephen Hayward clearly points out in his 50 Shades of Grey post at Powerline, great headline by the way, Wesleyan University. Well, actually no, I'm mistaken. It wasn't 50 Shades of Grey. It's actually 50 Shades of Gay. That's how Stephen Hayward titled it, 50 Shades of Gay. Wesleyan University is now making sure every sexual fetish, whim, kink, orientation, impulse, and desire, plus the kitchen sink, gets its own capital letter in the ever-growing acronym for the formerly lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community. There's another word that it's told to heterosexuals, don't use it anymore, even though it's, again, that's not another derisive term. The word queer is a term that has been used classically by many Britons, and it was also used by many early American writers, because that actually means something that is out of the ordinary. But again, knowing how homosexual activists are, especially in the early 80s, they said, don't use that because we don't want to be denoted. We don't want people to know us as standing away from what is the norm, which, by the way, homosexuality does.
Exactly.
It breaks away from the norm. Now, it says Wesleyan University's... Can I point something else out? Wesleyan University? Are we talking about John Wesley, the now deceased minister, and many believe the purveyor of Wesleyanism, Wesleyan Methodism, into the United States?
Mm-hmm.
This is... Do you
Very
see?
Interesting.
It's ironic, isn't it, how this is degraded to this point? Wesleyan University's Residential Life Division's open house at 154th Church Street. Look at this. Are you seeing this? Church Street. Wesleyan University. Good God. According to the university's website, quote, a safe place for lesbian, gay. Hold with me here for just a second, listeners. I'm going to repeat this again. A safe place for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, queer, questioning, flexual, asexual, gender expletive. I'm not going to say that because they're using an expletive here. Gender expletive. And that I, before we took this and, you know, took this to transmit, to broadcast this, I found out what this means. They're calling it gender bender is another term. It's like a Marilyn Manson, where you're not content with the gender that you received or to fit within typical societal roles, so you might dress androgynously. That's what this means.
Okay.
Okay? But don't ask me what flexual means. I don't know what that means.
Mm.
Polyamorous, bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, sadism, masochism, hence the LGBTTQQFAGPBDSM. That's a mouthful. Communities, and for people of sexually... or gender dissident communities. The goals of Open House include generating interest in a celebration of queer life. They can use it, and we can't use it to describe them.
Of course.
They can use it. It's perfectly fine. They can use it amongst themselves, but if anyone else says it, they'll throw the kitchen sink at them. Man, amazing. From the social to the political to the academic, Open House works to create a Wesleyan community that appreciates the variety and vivacity of gender, sex, and sexuality. The Christian Post also had a few words to say about it, noting, and I'm not going to go over that acronym again, housing for 15 alternative sexualities is okay, but men-only fraternities are not.
Ooh. Huh.
That's great, isn't it? The Post is referring to the fact that a fraternity at Wesleyan recently sued the school over its co-ed mandate. Clearly, this private liberal arts college in Connecticut has its priorities completely out of whack, and its social progressive bias completely intact. I'd like for you to read the next report. You were the one that pointed this out to me, and we'll comment as we go.
Okay. A student booted by college because he was homeschooled. Before we go on, I want to make it clear that when a parent, when parents decide to homeschool, it is your responsibility to adhere to what the state and what your state, where you currently live, what are the homeschool bylaws, and every state has it. So it's always good to know that. Jacob Berry, a 22-year-old homeschool graduate from Morgantown, West Virginia, recently encountered a sudden jolt in his career plans. Homeschooled by his father, Dr. Nathan Berry, and his mother, Miss Cynthia Berry, who holds a lifetime teacher's license in Missouri, that's always good to know, Jacob graduated from high school in 2012. Upon graduation, Jacob worked in a retail and construction before deciding that information technology was the career for him.
This is a star student.
Exactly.
Star pupil.
He applied to and was accepted at West Virginia's Bridgeport Junior College this past fall.
Which supposedly is an outstanding educational center.
Yes.
It is an outstanding school from what I have understood according to this report and things that I've read about it.
Right. And by the way, if you are a teen who is listening to us and is being currently homeschooled, you can get not your GED, your high school diploma. You can get it. It was the perfect choice for him. He could continue working and taking classes. Quote, Bridgeport is a great junior college, Jacob said. The schedules are amazing and the teachers really helpful. I definitely enjoyed the atmosphere there. Diploma issues. During the application process, the family met with the admission staff and informed them that Jacob had been homeschooled. Jacob's enrollment agreement signed by the college president, Ms. Sharon Stevens, even acknowledged his homeschooling background.
Let me comment on the following. Notice how it says Miss Sharon Stevens. I wonder if this lady's single or if she's divorced. Why do I ask this question? You would think that a person heading an educational organization would be married, have children, understand what it is to educate her own children and having gone through that process. But I'm seeing an increasing trend in all schools, not only private schools, but also public schooling. Teachers are being hired now, straight out of college. Yes, they have a degree, but they have no children. They're not married. They haven't begun living life yet, and yet they pretend to inform the parents on how to educate their children when they themselves have never had children before. Isn't that ironic and contradictory?
Good point.
I've noted that, and I've always thought that that is a no-no. I don't think that can happen, but then again, I'm the antiquated one, right?
His enrollment completed and Jacob eagerly began his studies and finished his first two courses, psychology and introduction to computers in January, receiving A's in both.
Can we do away with the psychology courses?
Unfortunately.
What are we doing? They call it humanities. Obviously, the new religion of psychology has taken root in schools, and I don't know if at this point we're going to extirpate it, but good Lord, I wish we could eliminate psychology from schools. Well, it's there because there's an industry for it. So many young people want to know why mom left me, why did dad leave me, and they think they find the answers in psychology. When if you examine psychology itself, it's such a flawed study because it's man studying man, and if man is flawed already from the get-go, how is man going to study man?
And psychology will never get to the root of the problem. If the problem is you, they will say, you know what? It's everybody else but you.
But that's the thing. It's always everyone else's fault in psychology. Of course, that's always the teaching. It's everyone else's fault. You are the product of your environment. It's always the fault of everyone else except your own. And besides, when we also look further into the founders, such as Sigmund Freud and whatnot, and Carl Jung and those other individuals, Abraham Maslow, they all had an aversion to Christianity. They absolutely abhorred it. And they did everything they could to try to denounce Christianity and influence people not to accept the biblical tenets. Furthermore, that's not to mention the tendencies of Sigmund Freud, a rampant cocaine user.
Exactly.
And a man whose philosophy was one filled with sexual aberrations.
Especially with minors.
Especially the Oedipus, shall we mention the Oedipus complex?
Exactly.
Where he taught that youngsters are in love with their mothers. And that because there's sexuality repressed from the age of 0 to 5, and that eventually that will manifest itself later on in life in an adult person's life. So look at some of the things he taught, and yet we have so many students headed to college and they say, I have no problem with psychology. Anyways, for the sake of time, we're continuing. Let me give you a synopsis of what happens. He arrives there. They tell him everything's great. After he takes these first two classes, they call him back and they say, your accreditation here for homeschooling is not accepted because it is going to interfere with our federal funding. And when the mother and the father checked the state laws and they consulted with their attorney from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they said there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly fine. They have to take it and it's not going to imperil their funding. The Miss Sharon Stevens decided still not going to happen. Go and get a GED. So now we find that they're trying to push homeschoolers aside simply because they've been homeschooled and they haven't gone through the system, which I find utterly dangerous because it seems to me that they're trying to set a precedent where they want every single young male and female to go through their indoctrination centers called the public schooling system.
Of course, and they don't have the right over other people's children. It's the parents' decision if they want to keep them in a public school, private school, or homeschooled. And if they got their high school diploma, why are you now going to negate not only his credits, but kick him out of school because of that? So I'm pretty sure that the homeschool legal defense system, first of all, they do have a case. And number two, I'm waiting anxiously to see how this ends.
There are adults that listen to our program. Mom, Dad, don't ever allow yourself to be deceived. You are more than capable to teach your children.
Of course.
You can do it. There's plenty of resources out there. We live in the information age. Everything is at the reach of your mouse and your keyboard. Some might say, well, gee, if I begin to homeschool my children, I don't remember. I'm not very good at math. Do you know how many resources there are for homeschooling parents now? Thousands.
That's right.
Thousands. There's even homeschooling conventions that will help parents educate themselves on these subjects again so that they can teach it to their own kids.
That's right.
Therefore, bypassing the institutions that have placed themselves as the mediator between you and educating your children. You can do it. And for the young people that listen to us, your teachers don't have your best intention in mind. I think there's a handful of teachers in every school that you could say they're good people.
And unfortunately, out of those handfuls that really do enjoy teaching and love teaching, at the end of the day, they have to abide by the school system and their principal and their school districts in what to teach. They don't have the liberty, even though some teachers do take that liberty to indoctrinate. But a lot of them would want to teach something differently, teach math differently. But unfortunately, the school system is made now in such a way where they can't get out of that. And they're being told what to teach. Look, you're going to teach this. And if you get out of that, you're looking at a problem.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's all the time we have left for this edition. We thank you for tuning in for this week of programming. We end our week of programming with this, but we will return on Monday once again with more truth in a world full of uncertainty. This has been Gio and for Soraya. We wish you adieu and Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwim.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.